If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. If we can get this chair situated, it's day three. And a lot of you guys disappointed like me that we weren't able to take control of this regional and be playing to close this thing out tomorrow. Now, instead of us having one game to win, we've got three to win. So we have certainly made life a lot more difficult on ourselves. We're going to break the game down. We're going to talk a little bit about St. John's. Had a chance to cover that game again today, too. We'll talk about what happened in the SEC today and what we expect to happen tomorrow. Not a great day for the SEC, to be quite honest with you. Some great results in some hamlets of the world, but some others not so great. Certainly not here in Charlottesville. I thought we played well. We didn't play well enough. And that's the thing that frustrates you. It was there for the taking, and we just couldn't get it done. So, I don't know how long we go. I waited a while. I wanted to wait for some of these other games to go final before we recorded the show. Many of you will be listening to this, of course, on Sunday morning. Don't get used to this. I can promise you, don't get used to this. I don't know how I could record every day, starting that hour and a half every day. But I want to give a shout-out to all the Bulldogs that turned out tonight. At UVA, what's it called? Dish Maroon Park or something like that? Anyway, whatever it is, it's a really nice campus. I'll be honest with you. The UVA campus, outstanding. I said that on yesterday's show. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. This is a really, really nice part of the country. If you ever get a chance to visit, I'd encourage you to come out and do so. Many of you have done that for baseball. And so without any further ado, let's go ahead and break down a game. Brought to you by Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I'm ready to get back, kind of get my hands around the Bulldog Burger. Yeah, I might even get the Bulldog. It's been a while since I've had the Bulldog, but lately I've been kind of craving a hamburger, and these fast food joints out here just won't do. I got to get the real McCoy there at Bulldog Burger Company. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, I would encourage you to get the Bulldog. That's going to satisfy you, and it's not something you got to prepare for, right? It's true. Some of those other ones, maybe you're not ready for that. But if you want to walk on the wild side, there's plenty of opportunities to do so at Bulldog Burger Company. A lot of great options to choose from, whether it be the Freshman 15, the Mission, I get the Pico de Gallo on the side, you may like it, on top, whatever you want to do. There's the Good Morning Burger, so many great options. There's a reason you go there to eat. It's because you know you're going to leave satisfied. Not just the quality of the meal, but with the service, the pricing, the portion. You're going to leave there and you're not going to be wanting. I can assure you of that. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. And the world needs more of that, without any question. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We didn't get off to the best start here, but we got back in it, and it felt like we were in control of the game for a while. But of course, State being the visiting team, I think it's a coin flip tomorrow. I think I should have checked when we play St. John's again. But Amani back in a leadoff spot. He and Bryce Chance flipped, and it got Bryce going a little bit. We needed that. We need Bryce. We do. Amani flies out to left, and Mershon singles up the middle. I thought Dave's had a good regional so far. He has. And he didn't have a great Hoover, but he's had a good regional. First pitch, he just kind of just belts it right back up the middle. DJ strikes out swinging, but I thought it was a quality at bat there. It was a lengthy at bat. We get down 1-2 in this count. We foul a ball off. We take a ball, foul another one, and we go down swinging. But I would much rather go down swinging than look at a called third strike. And we did some of that tonight, too. Those are the things, that, as a former coach, that just irritate me. You got to give me an effort there. At least try to bowl a pitch. I'd rather you look silly swinging and missing than look extra silly by sitting there and looking at a called third strike with a runner in scoring position. But that's just me. And then Hines flies out to center, hit it pretty well, got a 2-0 fastball, and just hit it to the biggest part of the park. I mean, if 10 more push-ups and that thing's pulled, you know, 10 feet to the right, it's probably a souvenir for some kid. But, you know, State gets a guy on. And, again, I thought we had some pretty good at-bats here. Evan Blanco, and we shared on the show, too, he's not like an SEC Friday night guy. I think you guys saw that tonight. Good pitcher, really good pitcher. I thought he pitched pretty well at times, but not a dominant Friday night guy. They have relied on their offense tremendously, but their offense has not been great so far in this regional. That may change tomorrow night. It may. They got to play either us or St. John's. It may get going then. But so far, I think the Virginia offense has just kind of been okay. You say, but Steve, they're 2-0 and in control. That's true. But I think they've gotten just enough offense. I haven't seen the offense that was kind of billed by a lot of people. All right, bottom of the first, 1-2-3 inning for Gerangelo. We get behind O'Farrell, but we get a fly out to right. Anderson then grounds out to third, and then Sake strikes out looking. Really, really good sequence there from Gerangelo, who I thought was absolutely outstanding. All right, second inning, Hizak grounds out to short. And it's like we always talk about, you know, nobody's ever hot at the same time. We need to get Connor going too. You know, Connor obviously was the hero of Hoover, but has not done much so far out in Charlottesville. We got to get him going. If we're going to make a run at this thing and hopefully advance to a super regional that may be available for us to host, if we can take care of business here. And again, you're like, Steve, can we just, you know, win a game? I understand. But when you see what's happening out there in Fayetteville, that's kind of going as we forecasted. It would be a shame to lose that opportunity. It truly would. We need to get Connor going. So Hizak grounds out to short. And then Chance, first pitch, just kind of just bangs that thing right back up the middle for a single. Kohler goes down swinging on three pitches. And then Aaron Down strikes out looking. Bottom of second. You think, okay. We get the first out, a ground out to third on the first pitch. And then we get an 0-2 pitch. And we catch a little bit too much of the plate, and sometimes with Gerangelo's pitch mix, we can kind of get away with that. He gets us and singles to left here. And then Dedewick fouls out to the catcher, and you think, okay, we're going to get out of this without giving up any damage. And then Godbout singles to right field, hit that ball pretty well. Runner had to hold it second. And right now you're thinking, okay, we're just a pitch away. We're good, we're good, we're good. And we get in a 1-1 count, and Becker nearly hits it out of the yard. It's a triple off the wall. I think if we communicate a little bit better there, maybe we can run that thing down. But we didn't. I mean, it is what it is. I wasn't out there. And maybe the whole time we're hollering, wall, wall, wall. I don't know. But all of a sudden, it's a 2-0 ball game. And then Bobby Whalen grounds out to second base. And so 2-0, and the crowd was alive. And in the words of the immortal Jack Crystal, the crowd was absolutely alive. In the third here, you know, we make some racket here. Long grounds out to second on the first pitch, and Larry strikes out swinging. And so it's an 0-2 situation here. Two down, and then Mersch comes up and singles to the left side. I'm thinking, you know what, hey, I like the fact that DJ's getting a chance to hit against a pitcher in a stretch with a runner on, because Dave Mershon may be the most irritating runner in all of college baseball. He occupies so much of their emotional and mental energy in ball games. I think there are some times that pitches don't get executed properly because of the fact that they're always so cognizant of what Mershon is doing. Good at bat here. DJ singles to the left side. And what do you know, on the very first pitch, Hunter Hines hits a towering three-run home run to give State the lead. We've been kind of waiting for him to get going. You know, DJ hit the big three-run bomb first day at a regional. And then Hines does it today. And you're like, okay, maybe we're starting to see some signs of life here in the middle of the Bulldog order. Hizak then strikes out swinging. But State now a 3-2 lead, head to the bottom of third. And you need a clean inning here, and we get one. O'Farrell strikes out swinging. We walk Anderson, lengthy at bat there, couldn't finish him. And then Sakai goes down swinging, and then we get a fielder's choice, and we retire the runner at second. And so nothing doing there for Virginia. And so we get to the fourth. And right here you're thinking, okay, all right, some cool things are about to happen for us. We needed some good things to happen for us. I mean, any time that they're going to give you a gift, you got to take it. And that's what we tried to do here. That was the plan anyway. If I can get – the same thing happened to us last night. Let me pause this. Let me fix this. They say experience is the best teacher. I'm able to fix that with no issue whatsoever. All right, but here we go in the fourth, and it's Bryce again. And it ends up being an infield hit here, but it's really hit deep in the sixth hole. There really was no play there. I mean, the risk-reward there just doesn't pay off for the shortstop. You throw that ball away, all of a sudden Bryce is at second, basically with an error, a single and an error. Coward then grounds to second, which kind of works like a bunt. They even thought about trying to get two there. They had no chance to get two. And if he throws that ball to second, we're going to have runners at first and second. Well, the next thing you know, they try to pick him off, and it looks like maybe they've got a play there, and the pitcher throws it in the center field, and Chance comes all the way around and scores. And because of the fact that they were in the no-doubles defense, they had no chance whatsoever, none whatsoever, to make a play on that. And so now it's a 4-2 ball game, and you're thinking, hey, these guys are kind of giving us something. Let's take it and tack on here. Downs flies out to center, hit that ball exceptionally well. Long goes down swinging. But even though the Bulldogs only had the benefit of one hit in the inning, we get a run home. And sometimes that's the difference in winning and losing baseball. All right, bottom of the fourth, Farron strikes out looking. Dedewick flies out to center. And then Godbout out at first. And this is a great play. A great play. Because Hunter Hines ranges off the bag. Amani has to make a play on the backside. And then Girangelo covers and even stretches for the throw. It makes a play. So great defense being played by your Bulldogs there, and you think, okay, hey, we're playing this kind of defense. We got a 2-run lead. Maybe we got a chance to hang on here. And I said to some guys on the booth, I don't think 4 runs is going to be enough. All right, top of the fifth, Larry fouls out to the first baseman. Mershon grounds out to short, and then Jordan grounds out to short. So we're putting the ball in play there, but a lot of soft contact in that inning. All right, bottom of five. Becker grounds out to the pitcher. Really, really nice play here by Girangelo. That's that shortstop background kind of popping up for you there. Great reaction time for him. Whalen grounds out to second. They make a call here. It's so stupid. And then this is like, so you get the pop-up, right? And Hunter Hines makes an incredible play here, and they waste a challenge on this. My biggest concern with was not so much the challenge. I get that aspect of it. You're just trying to do something to kind of slow momentum down, and maybe you get a call and a reversal. But it took them forever to get the challenge in. I mean, you only got like 10 seconds to let them know that you want to challenge a play. For some, I mean, Virginia's defense is on the field. So if they truly wanted a challenge, why would they have sent the defense out? I can't believe they let them challenge it, but, you know, it works out the way that it should. The call stands. But just a little bit of an aside there. Wasn't happy with that. Okay, so now it's a 4-2 game going to the sixth here. And so Hines singles to right field. All of a sudden, we got a couple of hits from the big dog. Hizak reaches on a fielder's choice here, and they force Hunter at second. Hizak's able to beat it out. They initially call it a double play. They go and review it. We win the challenge. And so Hizak stays there, and you think, okay, maybe things are lining up for us. Chance grounds out to short. It works like a bunt as Hizak goes to second. And then Kohler strikes out swinging. We need Logan. We need Logan. Of course, he had a big swing against St. John's. But, you know, kind of a tough night at the plate through most of this ball game. Really needed him to get a swing in there for us, for sure. All right, bottom of the sixth. Anderson singles up the middle. So a leadoff. And that ends a streak, I think, of 8 consecutive retired. I think that's right. And then Sakai grounds into the double play. Ground ball right back to the mound. We throw to Mershon, who made a great turn. That throw wasn't perfect, but it was close enough. And Dave's a great eraser of mistakes out there. And so we turned to 1-6-3 double play, and you could feel the air in that building completely evaporate. I mean, it was completely gone. Sucked out of the arena. And it's like, you know what? We're in trouble. That's how it felt. Ford then grounds to third, and you start thinking, man, if we can get one more inning out of Lowe, And of course, with the gift of hindsight, some revenge. So we should have pulled him. He was clearly fading. But you know, here's the thing. We can say that now. You know, in the moment, wasn't so much the case. You know, and I thought we had a call that went against us that we didn't get a good review on. We'll get to that. Top of seven, down single through the left side. And again, Aaron got back-to-back game for back-to-back hits. And he is a guy, too, that has some incredible bat speed. Hits the ball a long way. I've just been waiting for A-Day all year for Aaron to get a hold of one, hit a home run. Longden reaches on the fielder's choice. And this was, I thought, in many respects, a turning point in this ball game. I'm not going to sit here and saddle this on Johnny. There's a couple things that I would say about this. They bring in the freshman, Augustine. It's a big moment. It's a big crowd. And you've got a freshman on the mound. I'm not going to help him. I don't know how you guys coach baseball, but I'm not going to help him. I would have made him throw me a strike. And he struggled to throw strikes in this inning. I would have made him throw me a strike because I can get a bunt down on an 0-1 count. I can get a bunt down in a 2-1 count. Matter of fact, I could probably do it right now at 51 years of age. But we bunt it way too hard right at the third baseman. Even if we bunt that just right there, you know, to right of the mound, we're going to get it down. So we basically surrender an out right here. And I think it gave his kid a little confidence. And so, but here's what's interesting. They force a runner at second, and then he walks Larry on five pitches. And then he gets down 3-0 to Dave Marchand. And I thought the 3-0 pitch was an absolute joke of a call. But it's like you begin to look at this here. It again, blessed with the gift of hindsight. What if he walks Johnny Long? He walked Monty Larry, but I think we were a little bit too eager and we didn't execute the play properly. I thought this was a turning point in the ballgame and nobody really talked about it. Because my job as the opposing coach is to make your players as uncomfortable as I possibly can. And so when I'm squaring the bunt, it makes it easy on the pitcher. I'm going to make him line up and beat back his emotions and deal with this festive crowd that he's never seen before, even at his home venue, and understanding this is an NCAA regional. I understand how baseball works, and especially postseason baseball, you got to make people beat you in the game of mental warfare. And I thought we punted right here. It's just my own opinion. Kind of is what it is. I would have made him throw me a strike. But, you know, and again, he struggles to throw strikes this inning and then decides, you know what, let's just go. Well, let's batten down the hatches and go at Dakota Jordan, and he strikes out on three pitches. Yeah, it's true. But you begin to think this is a missed opportunity. We get the leadoff single, and then we end up getting a walk. So we get two runners on in here, and we don't get anything out of it. So that's a tough one. That's a super tough one. We left nine on base, and that's two in that inning. They're very, very significant. All right, bottom of seven. And again, we're blessed with the gift of hindsight.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Dave Gill Chevrolet, we have back-to-school savings all month long. Check out our incredible selection of the latest Chevrolet models, including the rugged Silverado, the versatile Trax, and the stylish Equinox. We pride ourselves on exceptional customer service and unbeatable deals. So what are you waiting for? Visit us online at DaveGillChevy.com or stop by our dealership at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus. Dave Gill Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. See dealer for complete details.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We get ahead 1-2 on Ferentz, and it's a single back up the middle. I would have gotten somebody up right now. I would have already had somebody warming right here, right here. And eventually we did. But, you know, Durangelo was dealing at this point. And that's the thing. It's like everybody's like, well, you can tell he's fading. Well, not until he got in the inning. And then you get a single to the shortstop, and this wasn't like – so. This was a chopper out the short. And I thought that Amani made the play. I thought he was out. And I think just because of the way that he approached the bag, it kind of skewed the replay. I had a lot of people around college baseball that texted me and said that he was out. They review it, and the call stands. That was very, very significant. If we get that out right there, it changes the complexity of this inning. Now, Godbout's not going to bunt right there. And who knows, he may hit a two-run tank. He may. But instead, he gets the bunt down, moves the runners along, and then Becker sings back up the middle on a 2-0 count. And I've heard people say, well, but Steve, you know, you got a base open. Guys, stop using all the baseball jargon. I mean, honestly. You got runners at second and third. We got to get a non-productive out here. We do. We got to get a non-productive out. And not to mention, Bobby Whalen is a really fast runner. He's not really a double play candidate. So if I walk Becker to load the bases and I get a routine ground ball to short, you know, and Amani's had some trouble on the turn at second as of late. I don't know if he's just not 100% or what. But I know you got to know your personnel, and you got to know their personnel. And so right here you're thinking, hey, if we get Becker, even if it's a routine fly ball to left, it gets a run home, but we get out of here with the lead. We get Whalen to strike out looking, then O'Farrell grounds back to the pitcher. And so again, because you get the next two guys, you go back and say, hey, well, you know, we should have gotten that guy. Becker was locked in the night, guys. He was. And again, even the out he had on that ground ball back to Durangelo was loud. It was. But now it's a tie ball game. And despite all of that, we had an opportunity to take the lead right back here in the eighth. We get a leadoff walk to Hines, who works the count. It wasn't like it was just four pitches. And again, this Augustine's still in the ballgame, struggling to throw strikes. Heisacken flies out to left, and Chance flies out to right. And that ball was hit hard, too. And then Logan Kohler singles back up the middle. We got runners on first and third. And then Kohler takes second. So a base hit here is going to score us two runs. Aaron Downs is up. We get down in this count 0-2 and work it and work it and work it full, and then we take a changeup for a called third strike. This is when we lost the game. And I'm not just putting this on Aaron. I'm just talking about this moment. When you have the go-ahead run and some insurance on base, you got to put the ball in play. And it's not like Aaron's trying not to. Don't get me wrong. That's how baseball works. Baseball is a game of failure. It's a game that's designed to break your heart. But this is when we lost the game. Every inning matters, but after you've come back and you've allowed them to get back in the ballgame, you have a chance to steal momentum right back. And then you start thinking, guys, we're six outs away from a regional final. Bring in Harden here, and it's a leadoff walk. I could live without that. It ends up being a good inning, but we need to get cleaner innings from Tyson Harden. We do, and he's been great this year. I'm not being critical of him. But we have way too much traffic on the bases for a guy like him that should be a shutdown reliever. And what it tells him when you come out there and walk the first guy is you weren't warm in the pen. Isaac grounds out to the shortstop. We can't turn two here, but we do make the play. And then give Tyson a lot of credit here. That's as far as he goes. He gets ahead 0-2 on four. That gets him to strike out swinging. Gets ahead 0-2 on Ferentz, and he strikes out looking. And I thought Tyson had some real swag. All of a sudden, when he walks off the mound, you're thinking, yeah, he's feeling it now. He's ready to go. All right, so we go to the ninth now. It's a 4-4 ball game. And again, guys, we got traffic on the bases again. We got a chance to win the game. Had a chance in the eighth. Had a chance here in the ninth. And again, a lot of these left on bases come late against a bullpen. It's been rather leaky for Virginia. Powell strikes out looking. He pinch hits for Johnny Long. That was the right call. And then Larry strikes out swinging on three pitches. And then Mershon gets a walk. So again, it gives DJ a chance to hit against a pitcher in the stretch with a runner on And what is Dave Marchand, the most irritating base runner in all of college baseball? And what does DJ do? He gets down 0-2 in the count, but instead of him trying to do too much, he takes what they give him, and he pulls that ball into left field. Now all of a sudden you got Marchand all around at third. Anything could happen. It kind of changes the pitching sequence. You got to be careful about bouncing that breaking ball up there. Makes it a little more simple for your hitter. Hines comes up. You just need a base hit, and we get a grounder to second base. You know, he had a couple of hits in this ball game, but it's one of those things here. It's like you trade one of those for this. But we're not singling out players. We're not singling out innings. But we had our opportunities. This game was there for the taking. And then in the ninth, bottom of the ninth, what do? We give up a leadoff double here. Dedewick doubles to left center. It's a ground rule double. Virginia radio called it a home run, a walk-off home run. It was not. And then Godbout walked. And you're thinking here, okay, you got a chance to turn two. We get the ground ball and can only get one. Now there's runners on the corners. And again, you're thinking, hey, we get a routine ground ball. Maybe it needs to go to Marchand and he takes it himself. But instead, it's a ground ball. They send the runner to stay out of the double play, which is a really good play. I mean, it's first and third. You need to get a run in the ninth. Who cares if they throw you out, right? Because you get a chance to steal the base at home. But he hits it, and Imani's breaking to the bag, and it just, I don't know what happened there. It's probably the best case scenario for us because if you grab that thing and get on the bag at second, you got a chance to get a double play and force a 10th inning. And we don't. And that's a ball game, and we lose 5-4. And again, it's a game that we should have won. All due respect to Virginia, we should have won this game. Stay with 10 hits against their best pitcher, right? They end up getting 8. But I didn't think their bullpen would beat ours, and that's the thing that's concerning. Again, we had so many opportunities, we simply just didn't take advantage of them. All right, looking at our stats here, Imani Larry back in the leadoff role goes 0-for-4 with a couple strikeouts. Dave Marchand goes 2-for-4 with a walk, so he reaches base 3 times in 5 plate appearances. You can certainly live with that. Dakota Jordan, 2 hits and 5 at-bats, scores a run. A couple Ks there. Yeah, he could do a little bit more, but 2-for-5. You get multiple hit games from Marchand, Jordan, and Hines. You typically win those. And, of course, Hines with the big 3-run bomb, but also nice job a little bit later. He hit that line drive out to right field. It goes off the second baseman's glove, and I want to give him a ton of credit for even making that thing close. But that ball was pretty well struck. It wasn't one of these 150-mile-an-hour shots, and I'm exaggerating. But he covered a lot of ground just to make that play competitive. Hizak goes 0-for-4. Again, we got to get him going. Bryce Chance 2-for-4. Moving him down into order may have helped him. Kohler 1-for-4, Aaron Downs 1-for-4, Johnny Long goes 0-for-3, and Joe Powell 0-for-1. So stay 10-of-37 on the night, and 3 walks, 11 Ks. We got to find a way to get on base better, and it's simple as that. Gerangelo outstanding. He scattered these hits, and again, this is his great offense, but 7 hits, 4 runs, and 7 innings pitched, 5 Ks, 1 walk, no hit by pitches. And again, you know, that fly ball to right field early that scored a couple runs, if we get a better jump on that, we're probably going to catch that thing. And listen, take nothing away from Becker. He crushed that thing. We thought it was out off the bat. But you can't operate under that assumption as an outfielder. You can't. And again, not being critical, I'm just kind of saying it for what it is. But, you know, this vaunted Virginia offense, and you're like, yeah, they're still up 2 games to 1. They are. But I think at some point they're going to get going. You know, I keep waiting for that. They swing the bats with some authority. That's why I think it's so important for us. Provided we win that first game tomorrow, we have the right guy on the mound. And to be honest with you, I think that guy's Nate Dolan. I think Nate gets you a W against these guys. That's my feeling. I don't know how long he can go, but I know that we're going to have to use him if we're going to get out of this regional. We're going to have to use Nate Dolan. I think everybody agrees with me. We're going to need Nate to go out there and throw some innings for us and eat up some stuff for sure. All right, next segment of the show is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. If you're just starting out, and you're just thinking, okay, you know, Steve, I've saved up a little bit for a down payment. I got a couple of years under my belt. I'm kind of settled in professionally. I don't want to keep throwing my money away on rent. Maybe I want to buy a condo. Maybe I want to look and buy a little bit of a house, kind of get some equity built up. Or maybe you're looking for that game day condo, and it may be more affordable than you think. Yeah. Give Blair a text or call today at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. And visit him at closeatblair.com. Learn more about all of his services there. 23 years of experience in the industry. Top 1% close ratio back-to-back-to-back years. An incredible guy doing an incredible job. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. And we want to thank you guys for keeping the business in the family whenever you can. Because the last thing you want is your hard-earned money going into the Ole Miss Grove Collective, right? Nothing against those guys that you know of. But the reality of it is that I like to keep business in the family before people go out there and donate money to some other school. You know, that's how I feel about it. Maybe you feel differently. It runs deep with me. But let's look ahead here. We'll get to St. John's a little bit later, but I want to look at the SEC, kind of how things went. Again, it wasn't a great day for the SEC. Yesterday was a pretty good day. Vanderbilt becomes the first SEC team eliminated. They get knocked off by High Point. You know, High Point beat Ole Miss earlier this year, and we thought that was just really a product of Ole Miss. But turns out High Point's a pretty good club. It's 10-9. They walk it off there in the ninth. And again, you looked up early in this ball game. You know, Vanderbilt's up 5-0 in this game. And then High Point rallies right back and puts up 5 and a 6 to make it even, and then scores 4 in the 7th. But give Vandy credit, they didn't quit. They score 4 of their own in the 8th. And now you look up, it's okay, it's a 9-9 ball game. It's gonna be, you know, a fight in the 9th, and it's High Point that wins it. And so baseball is over at Vanderbilt. And to be honest with you, I think the Vanderbilt that you're seeing is the Vanderbilt you're gonna get in the NIL area. NIL era, excuse me. Kentucky takes care of Illinois, and happy for Nick. Those guys are in complete control there. I don't think there's any question they're going to win that regional. Alabama eliminated today, and I thought Alabama would make a little bit of a fuss out there in Tallahassee. They do not. The Hatters take down Alabama 4-0. That Alabama offense has been pretty good, but give these guys in Anthony DeFabia. Goes 9-1 and wins that ball game and just shuts Alabama down. They get 5 hits in the ball game, never really able to string anything together. And this is an offense that's got some explosiveness in it. Probably one of the bigger surprises to me is that LSU wasn't more competitive against North Carolina. I'm not shocked that North Carolina won the game, but I'm shocked that LSU only scored 2 runs. They do get 7 hits, and 2 of those runs, of course, come there in the 7th. But North Carolina, it was a nothing-nothing ball game for a while. They put up 3 in the 5th, and it's kind of coasting along there. And then LSU puts up 2, and UNC does what good teams are supposed to do. They answered. They got one of those runs back to give themselves a little bit of a cushion. So it's a 2-run game going to the 8th. They get a hold, and then North Carolina kind of puts the game away here with 2 runs in the 8th, and they win 6-2. So rather interesting result there. I really thought LSU would compete at a higher level. Georgia wins a winner's bracket game against UNC Wilmington 11-2. Guys, it really wasn't much of a game. It's 6-1 through 4. And then from there, you know, Georgia's kind of kept tacking on. And they got it done. And so now they're in the driver's seat, waiting in a regional final slot. NC State, you know, South Carolina had to walk it off on Friday, and then NC State rallies here late. To take care of South Carolina. Guys, it's a 4-4 game midway through the 7th, and NC State gets a run in the 7th, a run in the 8th, and puts South Carolina away. Of course, those guys will be playing an elimination game in the morning, and we'll get to that shortly. Of course, Mississippi State loses to Virginia. Tennessee, not much challenge here. They take care of Indiana. They get up 9-0 early and then just kind of cruise, you know. Just kind of how it is. You know, Tony's group is playing well. Andrew Banky gets the win. Florida gets beat pretty good by Oklahoma State, 7-1. Of course, you know, Florida wins the Friday game to get in the winner's bracket. Oklahoma State now in a strong position. And again, when we first started talking about this hosting thing, we were kind of evenly positioned there with Oklahoma State, and they really played well down the stretch. There was no question about them hosting. Texas A&M, you know, wins it late. I don't know if you watched that game. I did. You know, Texas gets up 1-0, and A&M ties it 1-1. Then Texas goes right back in front. A&M ties it in the eighth. It goes 11, and it was a wild thing. Bases loaded, and just kind of a slow dribbler out to third, and the third baseman kind of gets caught in between. Do I catch it? Do I let it roll foul? Do I field it? Don't catch it. It was a grounder. Can I get back to the bag? I think he probably could have. I just think he freaked out there. I think it was just so much going on he couldn't process. And you want to put the third baseman in conflict as often as you can. But next thing you know, the collective baseball psyche is very fragile, as we know. The very next thing you know, it's on a two-strike pitch. They throw a wild pitch, allows another run to score. And then they go 1-2-3 in the bottom half. Or I guess it's technically the top half. Because I was bottom half because Texas was the home team. So A&M wins 4-2 as the visitors in their own ballpark. Yeah, that's true. Remember when I told you guys that Arkansas may be the most vulnerable of the top eight national seeds? Well, I meant that, and Kansas State proved it today. Of course, Kansas State just destroyed Louisiana Tech in the resumption of last night's game that was called due to weather, and then they beat Arkansas today. And pretty crazy deal, that three-run bomb late to kind of give them some separation. Hagan Smith, you know, people were worried a little bit about his health. Guys, what's nuts about this game is Kansas State had 5 hits and scored 7 runs. Arkansas, 13 hits, only gets 6. On top of that, Kansas State committed a couple of errors, and they win. It's pretty nuts. It is. And so Arkansas now playing an elimination game. Now, speaking of elimination games, we're going to be playing one tomorrow. And so we're going to take a few minutes now. We're going to talk about, you know, what I saw from St. John's and, you know, what their pitching looks like. And kind of what we've learned from hanging out with those guys for a couple days. I guess before we get to that, let's thank our friends at Campus Bookmart, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Campus Bookmart. They've been serving us a great fan base for so many years, and I encourage you, as always, to support a Starkville business whenever you can. Campus Bookmart does such a great job. They deserve your patronage. They do. There's no question about that. Your patronage. Forgive me. When you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. I absolutely love them all. They're like family to me. They've done such a great job for me over the years. Whether I need a gift for a family or a graduate, you know, it's a birthday gift, you know, a gift for a loved one, they have everything I need because all of my friends are Bulldogs, right? And if you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web. You'll make yourself proud by supporting a Starkville business. Go to campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal listener of this show, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay. Let's preview the whole day, and then we'll talk about St. John's a little bit. And had a chance to watch them in that incredibly wild game, right? It's absolutely nuts, the game that they had with Penn, that eliminated Penn from our regional. James Madison in South Carolina, that's going to be an 11 a.m. start Central Time. It's an elimination game between JMU. Of course, they win today to win the first loser's bracket game. They will meet South Carolina. South Carolina will need to win 3 to win this regional. I pick them to win the regional. I am really doubting that pick. LSU will face Wofford again. I think LSU wins that game handily and will face North Carolina tomorrow night in a regional final. And, of course, St. John's and Mississippi State, we'll talk about that more in depth soon. Arkansas will see SEMO again, and they will spank SEMO, but will need to beat Kansas State twice in their own ballpark. It's going to be awfully interesting in Fayetteville. Told you guys I thought it set up well for us. We needed to take care of business. I think we're getting the help we need in Fayetteville. We need to help ourselves here in Charlottesville, or it's going to be football season here. Florida and Nebraska, they'll meet again. Florida, of course, beats Nebraska in game one. They end up, Nebraska wins a loser's bracket game, and now will face Florida in an elimination game. That's a 1 p.m. Central time start for all of you on Mississippi State time. Indiana State and Illinois, I don't know where that game is, to be honest with you. I don't know when it's going to be played. UNC Wilmington will play Georgia Tech, and they'll face Georgia. I do like Kentucky and Georgia to win their regional finals probably tomorrow night. I don't think there'll be a game necessary. And then same thing for Tennessee. You know, I think Tennessee will probably get through this thing rather quickly. They have played pretty good baseball so far. And if you see these scores, there haven't really been a lot of gaudy scores. I think sometimes people think it only happens to us, but when you get into this thing this time of year, there's just not a lot of separation score-wise. There are a few, but there's not a lot of games that are blowouts. And that's just kind of how regional baseball is and always will be. Everybody has a couple of good pitchers. But I think you will see some gaudy scores on Sunday. Everybody starts running short of pitching. And, of course, everybody's available. But I really think State, in our regional anyway, I think State's probably the team that's best equipped to work their way through the loser's bracket. And even that's going to be a real challenge because you got to think you're still going to be throwing – and by the time, if you make it to Monday, you're going to be throwing basically midweek pitching against one of the nation's best offenses. So it's going to be a tall task. But all we can do now is focus on what's ahead of us, and that's taking care of St. John's, then hopefully winning a doubleheader tomorrow. Knock off St. John's and get Virginia, and then force that Monday game. And then, of course, all the pressure shifts to Virginia, playing at home. It's a Monday night. Bulldogs would have some momentum, and so the first thing we have to do is take care of business against St. John's. And so I covered that game, and it's pretty crazy how the whole thing has kind of played out, guys. It was 6-2. Like, you look up and Pesco's given up 10 home runs, but just one run. You're like, well, how does that happen? Well, he kept doing a good job getting under barrels and kind of rolling up some double play balls and let the defense play. And then all of a sudden, some craziness happened. It was nuts. They get the first two outs, and then there's a throwing error, and it opens the floodgates, and seven runs score for St. John's. And now you're thinking, okay, now it's a 9-6 ball game. Can they hold on? Then, what do you know? Penn was up 9-6, not the other way around. Penn was up 9-6, and then St. John's hits a two-run shot in the eighth to make it possible. And then Jimmy Keenan, the hero of the Big East tournament, hits a home run in the ninth to tie it. It ends up going 12 innings, and then we had this craziness where Tucker from St. John's was thrown out on a play at the plate, and then he is ejected for malicious contact to the catcher. I think he'd have been okay if he had just brushed him with his shoulder. But as he passed him, he kind of chicken winged him, and that's going to get the alert of the officials. They review it, and if the rules are applied, as I understand them, he will not be available for our game tomorrow. So that's their leadoff hitter, a guy that had four hits in the game today. And that's an offense that really struggles at times to score runs. And you take their play setter away from them, it certainly gives us an advantage. And Brooks Auger, going to start that game for Mississippi State. And I've read some people that have said, well, why aren't we saving him? Well, you can't save anybody in an elimination game. You have to treat it as such. You just got to do all you can to go win the game. And listen, Brooks has been up and down a little bit too, but if we get anything close to what we got in Hoover out of Brooks, we're going to be pretty happy come mid-afternoon tomorrow, and then we'll go play Virginia. And again, at this point, we can play loose. Certainly we can play loose. And so... That's kind of how I see the matchup. Let's do our Stark Vegas Clubhouse here, add two, and then we'll get into who St. John's is expected to throw. Guys, if you're coming to Starkville, the greater Starkville area, you need to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google it, and then their Facebook page will come up, and you'll be able to peruse the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you there. Whether it be a ballgame weekend, a work trip, a girls trip, a guys trip, a couples weekend, or just a family get-together, you're going to be staying 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. That great fire pit area, the big back porch, the wet bar, the full kitchen. You can go to the grocery store and you can stock up, and everybody can take turns cooking rather than having to constantly go out or door dashing food. You can take care of it right then and there. And Mom loves to be able to cook for you. No matter what she tells you, Mom loves being able to cook for you. She likes you when you take her out, too. But the Stark Vegas Clubhouse could be exactly the spot you're looking for. And this summer, maybe you don't have the funds to go take the big Disney trip this year. Maybe Mom's pregnant. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in your life. But maybe you just want to get away a little bit. Maybe get everybody under one roof. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse could work for you. When you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO, and you can use those if you'd like. But if you want to save a little money, I can do that for you. Book through the Evolve website. you're going to stay at the same place. You're just going to pick a different booking option. But if you book through Evolve and use promo code BSR10, that gets you 10% off your stay. Yeah, just by listening to this show. It's a great opportunity for you. Again, it's a Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure to check them out today. Okay. Had a chance to speak with Coach Mike Hampton of St. John's following that Wild game. And so their plans this week, on game one tomorrow, they plan to throw Evan Chaffee is a left-hander with a 3-0 record, a 4.30 ERA. He has been the Sunday starter for them most of the year. 12 games started, 14 appearances, 67 innings of work. He's allowed a hit per inning, allowed 34 runs, 32 of them earned, and 2-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. So he's not a big strikeout guy. Their whole pitching philosophy is to try to get under barrels and force ground balls. That's what they do. Xavier Kullhauser pitched a great game against Mississippi State. We eventually get to him, but great job by him, getting some soft contact. Mario Pesca, the guy that pitched today, pretty similar. So it's a philosophical thing with them. They want to pitch to contact. They want to control the contact and give soft contact. Now, Evan Chaffee, though, the contact hadn't always been as soft as they would prefer. He's allowed 10 doubles on the year, which is the most on the team, and 8 home runs, which is the most on the team. Batting average against is .254. But left-handers at times have been a problem for us. And I think since they throw a left-hander, probably means Aaron Downs stays in the lineup. And, of course, he's had a couple of hits for you. So you reward him and keep him in the ballgame, keep him in the lineup, and perhaps he's a guy that can make some things happen here. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this too, but Garrett Scavelli, you remember he robbed a home run against Imani Larry? He did the same thing in the ninth against Penn. Robbed another 2-run home run. Pretty crazy stuff, man. Super is. But Jackson Tucker, we talked about him. Expected him to be unavailable. He's hitting .293. Started 55 games this year. Got 3 home runs, but he has been a real catalyst for them. He's a guy that gets out and run the bases, and kind of puts them in a situation where they can kind of dictate terms a little bit. That's the thing you look at with all this stuff. Jackson Tucker, 21 of 28 in stolen base attempts, which is the team lead. There's not much question about that. They have one other guy that's got 18 stolen bases, Ben Beauchamp. But Jackson Tucker has kind of been really, we talk about being a play setter, that's what he's done. He's been a guy that set the table for the heart of that order. And so if he's not available, that makes it easier. And again, you're facing their worst starter. You could make the argument, well, they're facing our Sunday guy too. But this is an offense that's really struggled this week in the tournament and had some help against Penn. Obviously, but you got to keep Jimmy Keenan in the yard. He's really the only guy that you look at and say that's a circle guy. You can kind of pitch around him a little bit. State's done a good job challenging him and getting him to chase some sliders. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what our plan is against him. Had a chance to meet him today. Outstanding guy. Blake Mayberry's a guy too that's done some good things for them. Not a big power threat, but when you begin to work through this lineup, it's kind of a situation where if you go out there and don't walk the ballpark, they don't have a ton of power, and so you're going to have a chance to play good defense. And the Bulldog outfield has played really well this year. And so 44 home runs as a team, and 12 of them come from Jimmy Keenan. So make somebody else beat you. Now, the last thing we want to do is to go out there and drop that game, not even have a chance to get another shot at Virginia. It's basically, exactly what's in front of you. Your work is cut out for you. You know you have to win 3 games. You got to win 2 on Sunday and then force a game on Monday. If we get back to the team hotel Sunday night and we know we have a game left to play, we're going to be excited and ready to go. And that's the way that I kind of summed it up is, okay, you got to win a doubleheader on Sunday and then win a non-conference game on Monday. That's the mentality you have to have. Now, when Virginia crawled into bed tonight, they went to bed thinking we have to win a game tomorrow. A game. We've got to win a game. And that's a good mentality to have. But the problem is, if you lose that game, then all of a sudden you got to throw a guy that's down the bullpen. You got to throw a guy that's possibly your midweek, starter in a game for all the marbles. And so then the pressure really shifts. It's just like when you get that runner at third and you get 2 outs. Now you just got to play baseball. You don't have to be so cognizant of that guy at third. That's kind of how this thing works. And so State needs to exert some pressure.
first thing you got to do is take care of St. John's, force the doubleheader, and then, you know, of course, you've got Pico Cone available. You've got Nate Dome available. Nate is healthy, and Nate needs to pitch. You know, we're not going to win this regional without Nate. I think Nate Dome has got to get us a victory. And you start thinking about who all's left. We've only thrown four pitchers through two games. So, you know, the rest of the bullpen's pretty much available. And I'll be honest with you. If we're able to get some juice tomorrow and get some separation, I'm putting Colby Holcomb out there because I know Colby's going to pound the zone, and this is a team that doesn't have a ton of power. That's been kind of the book on Colby, is the fact that there have been some times he's left some balls up and he's paid for it, especially at early in SEC play. But when I think about this team, and of course, you know, you probably got to have him on a short leash, but you start thinking if he can get you three innings tomorrow, kind of bridges the gap on the back end, and Gavin Black needs to pitch, right? If you can get through that deal, you know, maybe Brooks Auger can go out there and get you a complete game. I wouldn't expect that, but I know what the kind of champion Brooks is. He could give you a Jacob Bilwinsley-type performance, and for those of you that have been around a few years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we had to go down there to Hattiesburg and win that regional, and we didn't have a lot of pitching left, and Bilwinsley gives us a complete game and completely shut Southern Miss down and forced the regional final, that which we won, and then lost the Super the next week to LSU. But when you start working this thing down, you just have to take it a game at a time. Now, you've got to have a little pitching back, but the reality of it is it's got to be all hands on deck. You take care of them, and we don't know who Virginia's going to pitch. And speaking today to some people around the Virginia program, they don't know either. They don't know who they're going to pitch because it's going to depend on matchups and who's healthy. They have struggled at times this year to put a cohesive weekend together. And Blanco is the only guy on their roster that has pitched every weekend. He has been their most solid starter. And again, you saw him tonight. He's not dynamic. He's not Hagan Smith by any stretch of the imagination. But he's a guy that gets out there and competes. And State got to him. We did. You know, he left, you know, without the lead in that ball game. And so they have thrown many of their bullpen arms, but you know, there is no forever, right? I mean, it's just you play it one weekend at a time, and so we've got to go out there and put them in a situation where they have to go all in, and then we've got to win that ball game, and then put ourselves in a situation on Monday that it's a winner take all deal. I like our chances in that game, but I tell you this: we're going to have to hit the baseball better. We're not getting the big hit. You know, it's like even you go back to Friday's game. You know, we scored five runs in that game on two home runs. You know, we haven't strung a lot together. We've gotten the big fly on occasion, like even today. You know, we start stringing some things together, and what do you know? We get, you know, Mershon gets a hit, DJ gets a hit, then Hunter hits a home run. You start stringing those things together, you put up crooked numbers. But we got to hit the baseball better. And I thought we had some loud outs, but at the end of the day, they're outs. You know, we've got to find a way to headline drives. We've got to utilize this park. This is a park that's kind of built for doubles. You know, it's got a low fence out there, so you got a chance to rob home runs. But the reality of it is we're in the position we're in right now because we left too many on base. We had the chances, and we didn't get the big hit. And so we've got to have a mentality. We've got to go out there with some reckless abandon. And to be honest with you, we probably need to jump on these guys early. We'd like to be able to, because you only have, I mean, the reservoir for your emotional and mental energy only runs so deep. And so if you've got to go out there and play some emotional game against St. John's just to stay alive, you're probably going to be emotionally spent when you take the field against a very well-rested and confident Virginia team. You know, they're hosting for a reason. They're a good team, one of the best offenses in the country. But they have won this year because of offense. And again, you look at even this week, you know, they haven't been great offensively. They've just been good enough and gotten good enough pitching. Well, now they've used their top two pitchers, and we'll see how things go. But I mean, Monday's game could turn into an absolute free-for-all. We just got to make sure that happens. We have to give ourselves an opportunity to get into a wild game on Monday, and then we'll figure it out. But you know, my estimation is I think State does have the pitching to get this thing done, at least to get to Monday. And again, the way we started the show is the way that we're going to end it. We had an opportunity tonight to put ourselves where we just needed to win one more game. Now we have to win three. It sounds like a very daunting task, but we have done it before. And typically it's because we've lost the first game. Like we would go out there to Tallahassee, like we lose the first game, right? We got absolutely drilled by Oklahoma. And then we work our way back to the loser's bracket. We take care of Florida State. We take care of South Alabama. And then we end up winning the regional. You know, and so you can work your way through it. It's not one of those things you look at and say all is lost, but man, we have made life so much more difficult on ourselves. And it's not like anybody just wasn't trying. And when you saw how hard we played defensively tonight, and how hard that we played on the mound tonight, again, you know, we got the results on the mound and defensively that we needed to get, and sadly, the game ends on a defensive miscue, but we shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. We need some guys to step up and be stars, and not just to hit home runs. You know, we need Connor Hyzak to get going for us again. You know, we got David going. Now we're starting to see signs of life from Dakota and Hunter. You know, we got to get Logan Kohler going. You know, Logan had three hits the other night, and then tonight he had a couple really big strikeouts. And so consistency at the plate is going to be the difference in what the quality of your Sunday is going to look like. Either we're going to go out there and hit the baseball, and we're going to win a couple ball games, and then we'll see what happens on Monday, or we're going to end baseball season on Sunday. And that would be unfortunate. You know, there's so much that I'm ready to say about this season and kind of where we are and what I think we need to do to improve. And there's some guys, obviously, on this team that are in line to make some big money. And so we need them to play like professional ball players in these final games here at Mississippi State, whether the weekend it ends this weekend or next weekend or in Omaha. We need guys to come up here and play really hard for the M over S and do what they can do to help us win this regional. And because, again, you win this regional, there's a good chance you're going to host a Super next weekend. But, you know, that seems so far away right now because we're in the loser's bracket needing to win three games. Is it an impossible task? No, it absolutely is not. And it starts with a St. John's team that I think is pretty much out of pitching, that they spent so many relievers today. And let me look that up for you, too. And, of course, again, guys are going to be, you know, if they need to pitch, they'll pitch, right? Because all they have left now is summer baseball, right? And some guys may just take a vacation from that, rest their arms and rest their bodies and spend time with friends and neighbors. But, you know, they really went all in to win that game today because they had to. We have to have that same approach. We do. But looking at the box score from that wild game with Penn, and I don't know if I would have believed it if I hadn't been there. But you go back and you look here, man, they had a ton of guys. I mean, a ton of guys that either pitched or got hot. Mario Pesca, of course, he won't pitch it. You know, he gave up 10 hits, 2 runs, threw 101 pitches. He's done. Tim Cunningham is a guy that they really got to after that error. He only goes the one inning but gives up 7 runs on 4 hits. All of them are unearned because of the error, but 32 pitches. Ben Adams came in. I didn't think he was especially dynamic. He goes 1 1/3, gives up a couple of hits, also a walk there. But more importantly, no runs for him. Sam Medert came in and worked 2 innings, 25 pitches for him. Jed Boyle comes in, works 2 innings, has a couple walks, 29 pitches. And so you can say, yeah, they may not be burnt for the weekend, but I don't know if you've ever played baseball before. It's difficult to pitch on back-to-back days. It just is. Now, I'm sure these guys at St. John's feels like they're playing with house money, and they probably feel like, you know what, hey, we let that game get away from Mississippi State the other day. I think it's a game that we let them kind of hang around in, to be honest with you. But I'm sure they're going to be saying, hey, you know what? Hey, we didn't even expect to be playing today. I mean, goodness, we look up guys late in this ball game, and we're down 9-6. We found a way, and you start thinking, hey, you know, we just win this one. Our goals are different, right? We're trying to get to Omaha. Those guys just trying to win a couple games here in the regional. They'd love to go play in a super regional. They would love that beyond all measure. Because there's no pressure on them. They're playing loose. And I think those guys will come out and play loose. But I think you've got a young guy in Chaffee, obviously, that you know, is going to be asked to do some big things. And, of course, you know, he has pitched in a lot of big ball games for them this year, but none of this magnitude. And you know, let's look back at some of his recent starts, too, just to kind of keep everybody kind of abreast of kind of where he is and what he's done. Who he has done well against. You know, and again, it's one of those deals, too, where he has been their third starter, and we have seen their first two, only one of them against Mississippi State. But we've seen these guys, again, go out there and pitch and be very competitive. But Evan Chaffee, you know, wears number 18. He is the 6'1", 185-pound redshirt left-hander from Hamburg, New York, a guy that was – fairly highly recruited in the state of New York, but he has worked, had some really good games against Georgetown, but longest game of the year, 7 1/3 against Seton Hall, so he's a guy that probably can get you 6 or 7. He had 8 strikeouts against Creighton. also had one hit allowed in that game against Creighton. You know, so good effort there. But early in the year, you know, he worked some as a middle reliever and then worked his way into the rotation. But, guys, he has stacked up some W's here down the stretch. Starting back Villanova at UConn. Of course, that's a pretty big win in their league. A win over Butler, a win at Xavier, a win against Creighton, a win against Seton Hall, a win against Georgetown, and then another one against Georgetown in the tournament. And so I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, hey, you know what? He had some struggles early in the year. But our guy, when he has been on the mound as of late, we've won. So they're going to have a lot of confidence coming in. And if we show up there like we're too good to play them, or we're already thinking about Virginia, we're going to get beat. And so I think the reality of it is we got to get him out of the game as soon as we can and put them in a bullpen situation where they've got a lot to consider. If you hadn't done so, go to whenthebottomfalls.com. You can get the newest book, When the Bottom Falls, there. All my sports titles are also available there. Yeah, that's Alpha Dogs, Stark Villains, Flim Flam, and Dog Pile. And be sure and go check those out. Father's Day's coming up. You have an opportunity to help Dad kind of fill out his collection. But we're going to wrap this thing up. And I can't promise you a show tomorrow night. If we win tomorrow night, I will do a show. If we lose tomorrow, I'm going to head home. And I'll let you know about Monday's show. I've given you so much programming here as of late. We'll just kind of see how things roll out. But we're not going to do a show if we lose or are eliminated tomorrow. If we win, I'll get as much information as we can from Virginia's coaches and see if we can figure out a pitching matchup, and we'll preview a Monday matchup. But again, if we lose on Sunday, there will be no Sunday show, and I may be driving back most of the day on Monday, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to you then. But I hope no matter what happens the rest of the way, you've enjoyed our programming, all of our content from Charlottesville. We hope that we're not done. We hope to be here another day, though we do miss our dogs and pets and families and friends and all of our favorite restaurants and things of that nature. We have a job to do. And there is a difference between having a job and doing the job. We are doers of the job. We take this very, very seriously because we feel like the program deserves it, and certainly you deserve it. And we hold ourselves to, you know, pretty high regard. We have expectations for ourselves. And so I think it's important to understand this time of year, we have to make bigger sacrifices. And hey, when baseball season's over, we're going to have plenty of time to kind of lay around the house and watch Netflix and write a few stories every now and again. We had some coverage of camp today. Justin Frommer went for us. Mississippi State offered a handful of underclassmen, and you can read those articles over at jeanspage.com for free. There'll be some more in the morning for you. And you need to be a member. You should. Go to jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Nobody provides more content about Mississippi State than we do, and that includes Mississippi State. All right, until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.